Hi, welcome to Homeroom 603. This is Megan Tuttle, president for NEA New Hampshire. We have here with us today Senator Dan Feltes, the majority leader in the Senate and the chair of Ways and Means.
Thank you very much, Megan, and to all that you do and for your leadership. Really appreciate the leadership of NEA New Hampshire. And to all your members and all the educators and all the support personnel and everybody who makes our schools work and who build a better future for our kids and our communities, thank you for all that you do. Say, just wanted to, we wanted to give an update on what's going on at the budget. At the State House, the Democrats in control of the Senate and in the House made public school education funding a top priority. The budget delivered the greatest increase in public school education funding since Governor Jeanne Shaheen almost two decades ago. It continued what then Governor Jeanne Shaheen started in the pathway in kindergarten. And this budget supports kindergarten like any other grade for the first time in New Hampshire history. We support and we provide full stabilization for schools. We provide special education, full funding, transportation funding, CTE funding, school breakfast funding, among many others, and just a dramatic increase and significant increase in the education adequacy formula. The downside of all the good work that was done as a function of all the input from Megan and all of the folks at NEA New Hampshire and all of the educators and superintendents and folks on the ground who testified at public hearings and raised your voice, the downside is Governor Sununu turned his back on you. He vetoed the budget. He vetoed public education funding. He did so because he wanted yet another round of tax breaks in our business tax code, which largely benefits corporations, many of which with headquarters out of state. I think, and the Democrats in the legislature think, it's more important to fund public education to give another tax break to out-of-state corporations. And by the way, when you fund our schools and you fund our communities and you unlock and empower people to do their job on the ground, you are also unlocking and empowering our communities and freeing them up and reducing pressure on them and providing relief to them. And that in turn provides relief to property taxpayers in our communities. Low-income seniors on fixed income struggling with prescription drugs, struggling with property taxes, hard-working Granite Staters, including a lot of our teachers in our communities, struggling to stay in their home with property taxes. And by the way, also small businesses that are struggling with increased property taxes. Under Governor Sununu, property taxes have gone up, up, up. Taxes for big corporations have gone down, down, down. That's not fair. That's not right. And this budget sought to correct that, and unfortunately it was vetoed. We're now operating on a continuing resolution. And that means that we're largely functioning under existing state law, which means September 1, those stabilization payments that we talked about earlier, they're going to be cut. A lot of schools are going to lose money beginning September 1 because of Governor Sununu's veto. He has put the interest of big corporations ahead of everyday people by vetoing this budget. It's the only reason he cited to veto the budget. He's come up with a couple reasons after the fact, but no one believes those. This is the only reason he vetoed the budget. And, you know, folks voted in 2018 and they elected divided government. They expect people to work together. That's what we need to do. That's what the House and Senate did. There was some stuff that was different in the House budget than the Senate budget. People worked together, they compromised. And the House and the Senate also gave up our top policy priorities in the budget in exchange for Governor Sununu giving up his top priority, which was even more tax breaks for out-of-state corporations. And at the 11th hour, he went back on that. So we've worked and worked and worked hundreds upon hundreds of hours to try to deliver a budget that delivers for you and all the hard work you're doing. And we're going to continue to keep working. And hopefully we resolve this, but it's not going to be resolved unless you raise your voice. And right now, the voices of the corporations who want these additional tax breaks is pretty loud. We need your voice to counteract that and say, you know what? You want $94 million in additional tax breaks, largely benefiting out-of-state corporations. Well, you can't be cutting public education funding to do it. That's way more important. So again, I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody who's listening to this and just encourage you to get active and involved right now. This campaign on this budget, to save this budget, to help save our schools, to help move us forward, is in full swing right now. And so your activism, your engagement, letters to the editor are great. Letters to the editor and Facebook posts are great. Any kind of public pressure that you can engage in to have your voice heard is so important right now. You know, we often talk about campaigns and, you know, you go to the campaign and, you know, you get up to election season and people are excited and there's rah-rah speeches and that kind of thing. And that's fun and exciting. And people are active and engaged and revved up. But the campaigns on the issues we all care about are right now. The campaign on a budget that truly funds public education and sets us on a pathway to make serious progress is right now. So please, please have your voice heard, and, you know, just really appreciate and grateful for the opportunity to talk about where we're at right now.
So I'm not sure. Can I just, how do you feel about this? on June 28th, the governor vetoed the budget.
Yep.
And, you know, in vetoing the budget, as you just went through, he really put corporations over children. This affects me and all my members, not just as an educator, but I have 3 children in the Concord Public School system, and this affects them directly, which then affects me being their mom. You know, when you look at budgets, they really represent what you're about.
Right.
So if you look at a budget, just face value, it says what you really value in your, you know, town, community, state. To me, this really just says Sununu does not value education. He does not value what educators do. He does not value that this is a investment in our future. It's a slap in the face to educators across New Hampshire. It's, you know, it makes me feel disgusted that he just ran, you know, so easily vetoed the budget when... You mentioned the 2 top priorities for the House and Senate. You compromised. You took out those top priorities in thinking that the governor would see that and say, okay, this is something they're serious about. It didn't matter. He still vetoed it at the last minute. Something that really is going on in New Hampshire that I hear a lot about is the mental health issues.
Yep.
And with this budget, we could have had a lot more resources fed into schools for things like more school psychologists, more social workers, more guidance counselors. You know, when teachers go to get their teaching certificate, they're not trained in mental health issues. That wasn't what they went to school for. Yet we're being asked to do so much more, and not just teachers, every educator that works in a school district. And with that, I include custodians, school bus drivers, food service workers, secretaries, aides, paraprofessionals, anybody who's in a school system or setting, I consider an educator, because the kids are, you know, interacting with them every day. And who's the first person they usually see? The bus driver, or when they go into school, one of the secretaries usually. And that's huge. Those connections are made. So we know that mental health is a really big issue right now.
Right.
And we're losing out on resources that were extremely important to the different districts. We've talked before about a mobile unit that was in this budget. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. A bill I filed, Senate Bill 14, created the policy language for this, Megan, but the budget actually funded it. And what it would have been is a statewide mobile crisis intervention and stabilization services for children, both child protection involved and not. And in essence, within an hour's time, services would be delivered in the community to the child in their home. Evaluations occur. A case plan developed. It's a best practice around the country. New Jersey has deployed this. I went down and visited New Jersey's system, and that's part of the reason why we took elements of that here to New Hampshire. That would relieve so much pressure off of our schools and our communities, and it saves special education costs down the road. It saves child protection costs down the road, and it happens to be the right thing. There's Nelson Mandela said there's no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way it treats its children. And the public ed funding, the children's mental health funding, the child protection funding that we have in this budget was a bit of soul repair for the state of New Hampshire in dealing with these crises. And unfortunately, Governor Sununu vetoed it.
So I know that the governor in the past has talked about that this money is unaccountable. You can't see where the money's going to go. And a few weeks ago, he was in Dover, I believe, and said, you know, we need to show him where the money's going to go before he would even consider. And this was before he vetoed the budget. But we had to show him where the money was going to go.
Yep.
You know, do you, I mean, what do you think about that? We don't tell this to other professions. Yet, somehow, with education, it's assumed that we're producing widgets and we have to prove everything that we're doing. Can you talk a little bit about the, you know, the unaccountability that he seems to think we have?
I two responses. One is he doesn't say anything about corporations showing anything before he gives tax giveaways to corporations. Mm-hmm. Just goes ahead and does it. Nothing in terms of requirements on job creation, on wages or benefits, or even where the jobs are located. And when you have a tax code that's geared largely towards benefiting with these tax breaks out-of-state corporations, it's particularly problematic. So that's number one. Number two is we just heard today, we had a great roundtable. We heard from local teachers, including Kerry Thompson, and we heard about how they're digging into their own pockets to help buy supplies for kids, to have granola bars ready for kids who may not have had a breakfast. And teachers are doing their best on the ground. They care, and they're doing their jobs, and they're making everything stretch, and they're digging into their own pockets. I don't think we should be, I mean, that's, those kind of comments are, in addition to vetoing the budget, is a real slap in the face.
I think, you know, everything that I can say that educators across the state, I did it when I was in the classroom. I know other educators do the same thing. They do. They bring in food to make sure the kids have something to eat because they're coming in with food insecurities. I mean, all that is true. And it's just, it's so disheartening to think that, you know, the governor isn't seeing it the way we are. So I said something earlier, not on this, but I was talking with you earlier, and you know, I think so. You were part of the minimum wage challenge, where you took the minimum wage for a week and tried to live off of it, and I'm assuming found it very extremely hard to do. I think we almost need an education challenge. I think, you know, anybody that thinks education is being fully funded or we're funding it the way we should be, I invite anybody, come into the school, sign up to be a substitute teacher, get fingerprinted, go through everything you have to do, and come into the schools and actually work there. Because it's easy to pop your head in on a tour, and it's easy to look in and see that kids are reading, or they're doing a science experiment, or they're singing a song, or they're, you know, in phys ed class making art, whatever. But to come in and actually go through a whole day at any level, you know, kindergarten through senior year in high school, come in, see what it's like. I would encourage the governor to do that when school's back in session, and not just in the beginning of the year. Come in June when our classrooms are 93 degrees and we're still expected to be teaching the same things and trying to get through to the kids. And then you can start to see, you know, it's not just about teacher pay, for example. It's about the resources. It's about, this is our profession and it's an investment in the future. And that's all being ignored at this point by the governor. Our classrooms are not the classrooms of 20 years ago when the first Claremont lawsuit went through. Mm-hmm. When that decision was made, this is not the same classroom by any means. So thank you for being here to talk about this. If there's any movement, we would love to have you back in to talk about anything that might be happening. Is there an education hearing, I think?
Yeah, we will have, there's going to be a few hearings on the impact of Governor Sununu's veto of the budget. There will be a public hearing on August 1st, I believe starting at 10 a.m. to deal with the impacts with respect to HHS, Health and Human Services impacts, and that includes the mental health stuff that we talked about. Excuse me, includes homelessness funding, Title 10 funding for women's health, among other things, that was vetoed. That's August 1st. August 13th, there'll be another public hearing that's going to be Department of Safety, law enforcement, stuff like that. We had more support for law enforcement in this budget. including Granite Shield and other opioid interdiction efforts that was vetoed by Governor Sununu. We'll have a hearing on August 13th about that. And then August 29th, we will be having a hearing on education, specifically right before the school year for most gets going. So and so if folks want to come to the public hearing, they're more than welcome to provide their input. And as I mentioned earlier, you're more than welcome to provide your input right now, doing letters to the editor, doing Facebook posts, making sure that people know that this is a budget worth fighting for, worth saving, that can help save our schools. And, you know, you mentioned, Megan, being just aware of what people are going through, and our teachers. And, you know, prior to serving in the state Senate, I was a legal aid lawyer. I represented low to middle income people, including work on access to services, including work on access to services in schools, including work on access to mental health services. And we have a system right now that is leaving people behind. And we have a system right now that is in crisis mode. We have a child protection crisis. We have a mental health crisis. We have an opioid public health epidemic and crisis. We have an education funding crisis. We have to get out of crisis mode. That's what this budget did. It put us on a pathway to really move New Hampshire forward. And unfortunately, Governor Sununu is holding us back from making progress. And so we really need everybody to have your voice heard. And I really appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion.
Thank you. So any of those hearings are open to the public. You can come and listen, put your input. Everything's going to feed into education at some point. So they're definitely all connected. The other thing you can do is go to our website, neanh.org, and you'll find on there some ways to contact the governor, some postcards that can be written, some talking points. We'll have all of that, letters to the editor. We'll have all that on our website. So it's neanh.org. You can visit that as well if you need some more information for that. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks, Megan. Take care.